There's somebody's phone is singing at me. Hmm. Interesting. Didn't recognize the tune. Okay, so I've been just longing for this morning. Do you know how many Easter-centered jokes there are? What do you call an unconventional Easter egg? Eccentric. So, question for you now. How many Easter eggs can you fit into an empty basket? Only one, because then it isn't empty any longer. Why was the Easter Bunny hired for the job? Because he had the most experience. Okay, what did the children do when they found that their treats had all been hidden on Easter morning? They demanded an explanation. I can keep on going like this forever. I found a website with 95 of these. Now, if you're like me, a collector of really naff jokes, good housekeeping, Easter jokes, on Google for that, and you'll find 95 of them. Some of them are even better than the ones I've just used. In fact, I got so keen on it, I actually decided I was going to call my talk this morning Great Expectations. Great Expectations. Let's just pray. I think you probably need a prayer after those jokes. Father God, help us to get underneath what Easter morning means, what it meant then, what it means now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I put someone on the spot earlier on. Danny, could you come up? Danny's going to help me because while I'm talking, I need someone to unpack this box because this box is filled with something that will help us understand about Easter. So if you just want to rip into it all, it's got sort of paper on it and things like this. So I'm afraid those of you who are expecting lots of Easter eggs, no, there wasn't any Easter eggs on that first Easter morning. Those of you who might be expecting maybe an Easter cake, no, it's not an Easter cake. It's not even roast lamb with mint sauce. And just get, how many people have had Easter eggs already this morning? Oh, some of you. Okay, let's see what's in there. It's a box. Okay, well, let's see what's in the box. I think it's the other side that's probably the easiest to... Okay, so it's still a box. It's just an empty box. You sure? Do you have a rootle around just in case you... It's an empty box. You know, that's really good because Easter is all about being empty. Thank you. Easter is all about being empty. There's lots of emptiness going on in that Bible reading. There's a lot of emptiness. And believe it or not, it starts with empty hearts. I think we've got that one on the screen, do we? Empty hearts? Is it the next one? There. It starts with empty hearts. Who do you think in our story that Tracy read for us, who do you think had empty hearts on that first Easter day? Sorry? All the Marys and Salome, the women who went to the tomb, they had empty hearts. They had great expectations. And this person who'd been really special to them, Jesus who had talked to his friends and to his disciples, who'd redefined the Passover and given it meaning and warned them that he was going to die, Jesus had been arrested. There'd been a rushed trial, a brutal beating, and an execution. And their hopes had been swept away. And their hearts, I think, were pretty empty. Now, one thing they could be certain about is that once you're dead, you stay dead. So they went to the tomb expecting it to be full with a dead body. And they went with a job to do. But that's not the only people who were empty on that Easter morning. We've also got empty lives. The empty lives, not just of the disciples who'd expected so much, but you and me on this Easter morning. Many of us have experienced situations when our plans haven't worked out, our relationships have gone sour, or perhaps we've experienced illness, or even the death of someone that we love. And just like those disciples, and just like those women, we feel empty. Easter is all about emptiness. So the women go to the tomb and they've got a job to do. They've got the spices and herbs that need to be, out of respect, placed in the grave wrappings in the tomb. It won't be a very nice job. It's been 3 days. Jesus had died on the Friday. It's now the Sunday because they had to take the Saturday off, it being their religious festival and their Sabbath. But they get to the tomb and their expectations, their expectations? Okay, sorry, I had to do it. Are completely turned upside down because the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. So the question for us today is, was it really empty? Was it really empty? Maybe Jesus hadn't really died and he just had a bit of a faint. Look, I tell you, when people drive nails through your feet and through your hands, and when you hang in the hot sun for hours and hours with your muscles stretched out and struggling to breathe, you don't just faint, you die. And the soldiers who'd been put in charge of Jesus' execution were experts at it. In fact, they themselves had been put under sentence of death until they'd carried out the execution. That's how the Romans made sure people couldn't pay off the guards and be let go. An execution detail were put under sentence of death until they had handed back the dead body of the living person they'd been given charge of. So we know that those experts knew their job and they did it. Jesus was dead. And he was placed in a tomb. The women did not expect Jesus to be alive. The women didn't have any understanding, despite Jesus having given clues to his disciples and to his friends. They did not make sense of it. They weren't expecting it. And so they went to the tomb, expecting it to be full, and found it empty. Now, the words that were read to us this morning from Mark's Gospel chapter 16, verses 1 to 8, are the very, very earliest account of the resurrection appearance. Some academics think that the account that we just had read to us today was written down or at least memorized within 7 years of the actual events taking place. So somewhere around 37 AD. That's why the account in Mark's Gospel is so short and brief, because it was the story that got passed from person to person to person. If someone's going to make up a legend, they do it a long time after the events. The events are very, very clear. The tomb is empty. There was a chap called Frank Morrison. He was a journalist and he didn't really like Christians. He thought we believed in some lies, and he set about to write a book to disprove that Jesus had risen from the dead. And he called the book, Who Moved the Stone? And he went through every bit of evidence that's in the written account, and there's lots of it. And as he studied each of the individual accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and as he looked at the witness of the early church, something changed inside him, because he suddenly realized that the evidence was true. And there was enough evidence there to prove that the tomb was empty. Mary and the other women went to the tomb and they found it empty. We know that it was empty. We know that it was empty because those who tried to deny that Jesus had risen again, they didn't deny that the tomb was empty. If the tomb had still had a body in it, they'd have gone there and paraded it. They weren't frightened of that kind of horror. No, the body had gone, and that gave them a problem. One of the accounts tells us that they bribed the guards to say that the disciples had come and stolen the body. They wouldn't have needed to go to that length if the tomb wasn't empty. So right here on that morning, the women are there, their hopes are shattered, their great expectations have gone. Jesus is missing. The disciples didn't steal the body. The Romans didn't steal the body. We run out of steam at that point unless something incredible happened. That Jesus rose. The man at the tomb tells them that Jesus is not here. He has risen. In one of the other accounts, one of the people at the tomb says, "Why do you look for the living in the place of the dead?" The reason that the tomb is empty is because Jesus wasn't a dead body anymore. Tombs are for dead bodies. But Jesus is alive. And that young man at the tomb promises them that they will meet with Jesus. So those women are just like you and me. We're faced with the fact that Jesus isn't in the tomb, and we've got to decide what to do with that fact. Everyone in this whole world lives with the fact that Jesus wasn't in the tomb. It is a historical fact. But some people choose to find out whether he really is alive. Because what Jesus came to do, he said, was not to leave us empty, but to fill us. You know, I always used to hate Easter eggs because I got so disappointed they were empty inside. I really don't like that empty shell bit, you know, it's... You know, it promises so much chocolate and it's next to nothing. I really like those little Lindt ones or the Cadbury's ones that are solid chocolate all the way through. Jesus, describing why he came, said, "I come that they might have life and life in all its fullness." So today, we, with those women, are filled with a choice between emptiness or full or filled. Are we going to stay empty with the emptiness of the things in our lives, or are we going to be filled with the risen Jesus? What are your expectations of the risen Jesus? You have a choice. The women had a choice. They could have kept it to themselves. It was absolutely unbelievable. No one was going to believe them. Do you know? One of the pieces of evidence that it really happened was that it was women who found out first. Because in their culture, if you were going to prove something, you certainly didn't get the witnesses, the first witnesses on the scene, to be a bunch of women. If you'd have made it up, it would have been a bunch of blokes. Probably not fishermen, probably not shepherds, probably religious blokes from the temple. But the first people to get this thing that the tomb was empty because Jesus was no longer dead was a bunch of women. And they took that story and they told it to the disciples. And the disciples came running and they had a look for themselves. But then over the next few days, those disciples and those women experienced the living Jesus and they were filled. Jesus, at the end of his time with his disciples, when he'd been with them, sharing food with them and teaching them, promised that they would be filled with God's Spirit. Are you empty? God wants to fill you. Do you feel emptiness inside of you? Scripture tells us that God has placed in each of our hearts a desire to be filled by God. There is an emptiness in all of us because it's meant to be filled by God. And the living Jesus is the one who fills us. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you that that tomb was empty, and we ask you to fill us with the living Jesus. Amen.